Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا على الصلاة.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
هيا على الصلاة.
Alhamdulillah, that is all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Thumma alhamdulillah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi khalaqa al-insana fi ahsani taqweem. Praise be to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. Wa ba'atha nabiyina mubashirin wa munzirin, and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There's no deity, no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكِ. His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدِ. To him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. In his hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And he has power over all things. وأشهد أن سيدنا محمد عبده ورسوله. And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. We pray, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad. Send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi, and upon his family. وَصَحْبِهِ, and upon his companions, أَجْمَعِينَ, all of them. وَيَا أَيُّهَا الْمُسْلِمُونَ, and all Muslims, أَسْسَلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. وَجُمُعَ مُبَارَكُ. InshaAllah, I just gotta open this up. First, I do need to say this. I know it's a little out of order, but technical matters. So the live broadcast from here right now is not going out at this moment. So if in fact you're in touch with anybody who, I'm not inviting you to call nobody, anything like that. But just in case, sometimes people text, is Juma going on? You can let them know it's only on Blog Talk at this moment. Inshallah, something changes. Don't hesitate to inform me, Ibrahim, and do that. And since I'm already kind of out of form right now, mashallah, but Allah is ever present. See, I would have otherwise put this brother Ahmed on that technical piece right there. That's what he do. Alhamdulillah, this Ahmed from that stellar community Warthadeen Muhammad, Masjid Warthadeen Muhammad in Houston, Texas, a community, if you don't know about, you need to know about it. I know I said enough about it, but too much can't be said about how great and wonderful the Houston Masjid under Imam Dr. Wazir Ali, alhamdulillah. So, it's a beautiful thing. So, Ahlan, welcome. And he's also here on an anniversary trip with his wife that's in the house, too. Alhamdulillah. I hope you enjoy California. We kept the sunshine for you, you know what I'm saying? So, it's all right. We appreciate it. Now, Amma Ba'd. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَى أَنْفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا أَنْ تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا أَنْ هَذَا غافلين صدق الله العظيم. This is the seventh surah, Surah Al-Araf, chapter 7, verse 172. And an expression of it is, and mention when your Lord took from the children of Adam, from their loins, their descendants, and made them testify of themselves, saying to them, that is God, asking them a question, am I not your Lord? And the souls responding say, yes, indeed, we testify. Then God says this, lest you should say on the day of resurrection, indeed, we were never aware of this. A report of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked, when was prophethood established for you? He said, Wa Adamu bayna ruhi wal jasad. He said, when Adam was between soul and body. So he's saying from that time, this is before Adam even had a body. He said prophethood was established for him. صدق الله العظيم صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Today we continue effectively, this is part three of a series that is grounded in the daruri, which is the five obligatory or the five obligations for building ummah. Our ultimate job, our ultimate responsibility of every Muslim everywhere, all the time, is to build ummah. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُنَا إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. This is the command. This is the order from Allah. And it has been derived that there are five essentials to that: family, intellect. Religion is a term that's used for it. For us, deen is the right Arabic expression for what is translated as religion. The scholars themselves didn't call it religion, it's that deen. And so religion, the self, and property, which has to do with our material life. So all five of those things are the columns, the pillars, the foundations for ummah. You have to have family in all that it is to be. You have to have intellect in all that it is to be. When I say it is to be, what Allah intends for it to be, right? Religion, that is our ritual life, let's call it. Our ritual life. The self, which is your own nafs, your own personality, your own psychological well-being and health, etc. And then also property. Property is your material life, your material life. So, we've done family, and now we're speaking to self. It's just a choice. It doesn't have to be in the order that's given. I use that as a memory device. You just first take away the T at the end of the first and put a P instead of it, and then you get all five: family, intellect, religion, self, property. So we're not going in that spelling order, but we're speaking to the self, the self. This is the third part. MashaAllah, inshallah, on Vimeo.com, inshallah, you'll be able to follow up on the archive pieces if that's your intention to do so. You can also follow up on Blog Talk Radio, where these are archived and recorded. But we have to go ahead and pick up for time's sake on where we are as a continuation from last week on the same subject. So this verse 172, get the picture. The picture of the verse is that Allah drew forth from the loin of the descendants of the children of Adam. And he asked, am I not your Lord? So now ask yourself, what time was this? When was this? How long ago was this? So it's a time before we were souls in bodies. It's a time before we were souls in bodies. Right now, we are souls in bodies. But that question was asked of us before our predecessors were even in existence. The point is, it's beyond ancient time, right? And the foundation for what we're saying is a picture that we're hoping to communicate based on the verse 1 from Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ تَقُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. And that is, we all come from a single nafs. And let's cover just a little bit of the racism piece with just that part, right? We all come from the same single source, period. Not just to talk about Allah, but our very humanity is from one single source. All right. One of the ways to understand that, because there's this nafsun wahidatin, this nafsun wahida is a single universal soul, a single nafsun wahida, a single universal soul, of which all of us are a part. Better said, perhaps, an expression. Because that soul is still one, we are just an expression of that unitary reality called nafsum wahida. It's not hard. Allahu alam. I hope Allah doesn't make it hard for you, but it won't be hard for you, I believe, if your heart is in some kind of way pushing back against the facts of the Quran. And the Quran is saying, you are all created from one self. You are all. وَبَثَ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالٍ كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And from the two of them, there's nafsun wahida, there's its mate, and from the two of them, scattered like seeds, countless men and women. So this is what God has said. There was this first thing, then there was this second thing, and then we all came from the relationship between the first thing and the second thing. Okay? Now, here's the simplicity of it. I want you to imagine that you have in your hand right now an apple seed. You have an apple seed. It could be any kind of seed. I decided on apples. You have in your hand an apple seed. I want you to see it in your mind. I want you to see it in your hand. And I want you to also see that one seed that you have. I want you to see it as nafsun wahida. Now let's go back to just that single apple seed. How many apple seeds, I'm not saying apples, how many apple seeds do you think are in the world right now? I think we can comfortably say it's an immeasurable number from our place. Practically infinite. We're talking about seeds, not apples, we're talking about seeds. Now see that one seed as the only seed that existed. First, it was the only seed that existed. Would you not agree with me that every orchard that you look at and that you see, every orchard that you look at and that you see comes at some point from one seed? Go look at an orchard. Oh, these apples. Do you not believe that they all came from one seed at some point? It's just one seed. Okay, well, that's you and me as human beings. 7.4 billion bodies on the earth right now, without even talking about the lives that have passed away through bodies that existed before, there had to be a first seed somewhere. Where were those seeds before they came out of the one seed? Where were all those seeds? You're standing in the orchard. You're looking at that orchard. Where were all the seeds that are in all those apples? Where were they before they became seeds in those apples? They were all in the one seed. And that's the case for you and I. You and I are all seeds from the one seed. And how many more seeds can come out of every seed? As many as there already haven't been expressed from all the previous seeds. Where does it stop? It doesn't stop till Allah ends the creation. So is the one seed finite? Yes, the one seed is finite. But we're talking about something coming out of that finite that is infinite. So every time you look at a seed, I'm suggesting to you to remind yourself of the thought that the infinite can be inside of the finite. And don't just limit that to apple seeds. Apple seeds are just the sign that I use to give you the instruction. Because you and I are a metaphorical apple seed. Going back to the issue of race, which is one of the dramas that they want us to get all wrapped up in and deceived and deluded and misdirected by today, don't be distracted. It's a magic trick. Main thing that the magician wants to do is to get you thinking about something over here, and he's doing all his work over here. The illustration with regard to the idiocy of thinking that your color makes you superior or inferior. Next time you're in the fruits and vegetables section of your store or your market, just do a quick count of how many different color apples there are, right? They're green apples, they're red apples, they're yellow apples. Some apples are deeper in their redness, and etc. All right. Now, take one, peel it. Take another one, peel it. Take the other one, peel it. What color is the meat on the inside of that apple? It's not red meat inside of red apples, or yellow meat inside of yellow apples, or green meat inside of green apples. They're all the same color. And that's how it is with us as human beings. Different color, you're just a different apple. No, red apples are better than yellow apples. That's because you like red apples. Somebody else will say the same thing about red apples. All right. All right. So let that be a way of understanding ourselves. Now we're going to take it take it down an octave, let's call it. I want you to think, don't think in just these surface three-dimensional terms as to where we are right now. I want you to use that faculty. We often call it imagination. But when we talk about imagination, usually, it's just like with the word myth, right? Oh, that's a myth, right? We take it only to mean the pejorative, meaning, oh, that's a myth, meaning it's false, it's not true, it never happened, etc. No. We'll do the same thing with imagination. Oh, that's just your imagination. Temptations didn't hurt us with that. But that's just, yeah, in your imagination, right? To poo-poo imagination. But brothers and sisters, understand this. Practically 100% of all, for sure, the greatest scientific discoveries, they started first with someone's imagination. And then they had to do a demonstration of that of which was in their imagination. And the demonstration for what was in their imagination became a proof that no, it wasn't just the imagination. It was actually a reality before it became a reality. All right. So here's the question. How were we created by Allah? Now, your first stop on that question is, now how could we possibly know either how we were created by Allah? You responded to the not question. I'm not saying mechanically, et cetera, how did God do it? Like, how did you make that cake or how did you, you know, bake that pie? No, I'm just saying, what was involved? So here's what I want to share with you. The Quran says, whenever Allah decrees a matter, He says to it, be, and it is. Whenever Allah decrees a matter, let's go slow. When Allah decrees a matter, question, stop right there. At that moment, does it actually exist? Because if what comes after is be and it is, that's a conclusion of what was started when Allah decrees a matter. But look at the words. I mean, Arabic otherwise just doesn't matter. The point is that the words will say and do say, there's Allah, then He decrees a matter. When Allah decrees a matter, in His reality, it exists. Because that's what He intends. So that's why sometimes it's translated, whenever Allah intends a matter. So now, here I'm deliberately using this concrete gesture. Whenever Allah decrees a matter, does He say something over there? He says something over there? He says something over there? He says what? He says lahu. He says to it. What is He speaking to? His decree. His intention. Now, do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full expression, full extension, full understanding, full detail about what He decrees? Or, you know, He said, well, okay, I'll come back. Whatever I miss, I'll edit that later. Do you think God has to do that? Allah simply says, this is what I intend. This is what I decree. He's talking to us through the revelation, saying we're listening to the revelation, and he's trying to show us how creation comes about from him. I decree it, meaning I intend for it to come to existence, and I give in that decree, inside of that decree, is everything that I expect that thing to be. Then he says to it, now I'm going to interject something. Okay, it's time for that thing that I intend to happen. So now he says to it, full of all of his intention for it, and all of his design for it, and all of his plans for it, and all of the goals for it, he says to it, be. And what's it going to be? Well, okay. I know this is crazy. It's like some part of that crazy thing. Well, you know what? You know, hey, look, I mean, this is cool, but I really don't want to do that. So there wasn't no Negroes born in creation, right? Negroes had to come much, much later, okay? But the point is we can understand, you know, the parody of that kind of attitude. The point is that the creation has no resistance. Whatever Allah says, be, that's what it is. Until you get up to us as human beings. So, he says to it, be, and it is. So what I'm trying to get across at this moment, I'm inviting you to imagine Allah as the reality. You don't need any bodies. You don't need any, that's not, whatever you think of, that's not. He exists. Then imagine that creator having an intention. I intend to create a thing. And in his intention, I've already said this, but I need to repeat it. In his intention is everything that he ever intends for that thing to be. It's all there. Complete. As soon as he intends it, everything is there. Nothing missing. Now when it's time for it to deliver what he intends, he says to it, now go do what I created you to do. So the point to be made here, with that verse of Adam, God drew forth from the loins of the children of Adam their souls and questioned them, am I not your Lord? And those souls bore witness, yea. He said, this lest on Yom al-Qiyamah you say that of this we were never mindful. So God has spoken to those souls, those many apple seeds. He has spoken to those souls by his revelation, spoken to those souls, and those souls have bore witness that he is their guardian evolver, Rabbukum. I am your guardian evolver. There's a message in that. Because everything we talk about, when it says be, for him it already exists. For us, it has to evolve. So, then we're here now. But the question is, when did we, in God's reality, when did we start? Do you think you started on your birthday? No. Quran already told you. You didn't start on your birthday. You already existed before your birthday. God has already spoken to you and you've already testified that he is your Lord. So your birthday is not your birthday. Your quote-unquote birthday was whatever time Allah said to his plan, actually before that, whenever he formed the plan, we were already in the plan. You know what? What's the proof? He wouldn't be here if he wasn't in the plan. We're here because we were always in God's plan. And so, what I'm trying to get us to understand, you have an abstract existence before you have a physical existence. Think at the report of the prophet that we read, which also when he was asked, when was prophecy written for you? He says, when Adam was between spirit and body. When Adam was between spirit and body. So there was a time that Adam was not in a body, but he existed before he entered the body. And Adam is just a type of you and I. So therefore I'm saying we had an existence before our bodies. And that existence in reality started with God's intention to create all things in us. So you and I are an existence that precedes the material world. This is your reality. You and I are an existence that precedes the material world and succeeds the material world. This body thing right here, so temporary. So temporary. Shoot, man. I saw some pictures of myself at the end, and I mean, it was pretty jiggy. I know some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But it's like, yeah. I was a little fly on them ears, man. I see some of them eating elegant shots and say, yeah, man, it's good. But look at me now. Yeah. No, it's like I don't have that bad attitude about myself, but you got it. Yeah, that's a little more, a lot more punch here. You know, a lot less hair here. A lot less black in the beard here. Huh? So that's what happens. That's life. But this body, this is not me. Me is who you hear talking to you. At least a part of me is what you hear talking to you. I really want us to get this. So let me move on further. So if you can accept that you are an abstract existence before you were ever entered into a body, all right? Myself, this is just my way. I cannot resist trying to get us to see the cosmic picture. I know these words kind of throw people off. The cosmic, we live in the cosmos, discovering more of it every day. Okay? So let's go back to that qada, which is that intention of Allah and the pre-existence of this thing that we call nafsun wahida. Then Allah created the cosmos. He created the material creation. To be a womb, to provide the body that this soul is going to be entered into. I'm going to read it the way I have it on my paper here. From the time Allah first intended to create us, we began to exist in reality. Not materially in our human bodies, we began to exist in reality, and to bring that into existence, that is, a soul within a body, to bring that into existence, he created the creation that we call the macrocosm, the universe, as the womb for the future material body of the human being on earth. If it's possible for me, and I make dua to Allah that he helped me to make this clear to you. If I was drawing, there would be this spiritual essence that exists because Allah wanted it to exist, but his plan goes further than just the creation of that existence. He said, "Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa." My intention is to create a khalifa in the earth. But it can't get from here to there without a translation period, medium, etc., for that spiritual thing to become a material thing. So I have to create a vehicle from which and through which the full manifestation of my intention can come, but I have to create it so that it can become the place that I embed this original soul, Nefsun Wahida, and then through all time and the evolution of cosmos, et cetera, in time there becomes Homo erectus. I got to use that language so maybe you can see it a little better. There becomes Homo erectus. There becomes this creature in a body that's different than the minerals and the plants and the animals and the birds, et cetera. It's different. Read the chapter 23, 12 through 14. And all of those stages that we're going through there in 14 of 23. That is the 14th verse of the Summa ansha'nahu khalqan akhar. Then out of it we create another creature. You and I are that creature. That's different than all the other creatures in our destiny, in our nature, in our potential, in our capacity, in our relationship to the Creator. You and I are that creature that Allah was saying He's going to create when He said, "Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa." You are a creature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created like no other creature. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Oh man. Think about that. Allah has created you like nothing else in creation. And He has empowered you like nothing else in creation. This whole cosmos thing that I just talked about, this same Lord of ours who created us, He said, it can't be repeated too often. سَخَرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Here you come. Illustration comes to mind right now. You're born into a house of a very wealthy man, but as you're growing up, you never knew anything about how wealthy he was, or that he's maybe the wealthiest man in the world or woman in the world. Well, but you just go, and that was just, you know, somebody you knew, or your daddy, or your mama, whatever. And then you finally grow up to realize, oh, I'm the son or the daughter of the richest man or woman in the world. I hope that just doesn't diminish it so much, but I'm saying if you can translate that to recognize you are a creature created by the Creator of the heavens and the earth who has gifted you with the entire universe as a gift, as an inheritance, as a your house of servants is all the angels in creation. The servants in your house as a servant of God are all the angels in creation. And this is why when I said, tell them their names. And when Adam named them, they bowed down. So the point is, many of us may not feel the power of what that is and what I'm saying because you have a diminished idea about yourself. You have a diminished idea about your reality. You are more believing in I ain't nothing as opposed to you are, yes, the crown of creation. Really? And that's the grace that we should be hoping that Allah blesses us to see. Because otherwise, here's how the story ends for us on this earth. You live, you work, sweat, doubt, fret, and die without having realized that you came through a universe that was yours as a gift from your Creator. Last thing for this part. The Quran tells us this is God, the Creator. Seek with the means that has been made available to you the life that comes after this life, the destiny. But don't forget your share of this material world. Come on. How long are you going to whine and moan and fret and blame and point fingers and march and protest about what some other human being is telling you you can't have, do, or be, as opposed to turning to your original creation as a part of the intention of God for all creation and turn to that creator and say, with you by my side, nothing I can't accomplish and nobody can stop me.
ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I have to say this in the season of the time, in the atmosphere that's being created for us to be distracted by. Being black, that ain't the thing. I'm telling you. That ain't the thing. That's not the answer. If we could all be as black as we were supposed to be originally, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to stop us from getting distracted. Because Allah created you as a human being. He didn't create you as a black man. He didn't create you as a white man. He didn't create you as an Asian man. He didn't create you as a yellow man, as a brown man, what have you. No. Allah just created you. And He created you in the best of molds. And Allah said, I created all of you. And I made all your forms beautiful. And I gave you your colors. And I gave you your language. Don't you see how you have to listen to Allah and stop listening to folks that want to distract you with trying to take any of those things and use them as a weapon of inferiority or superiority against you? Wallahi, I'm serious. Okay, you know I'm serious. Okay. So, this attitude that you that I hope you getting a sense from me from. I was in this interest before Elijah Muhammad. When I say before Elijah Muhammad, before I came to what was the Nation of Islam. This before I had an ex, before I was processing, before I was a part of that lost found wilderness North America, whatever the rest of it is. It's a soul aspiration. And I'm saying all of our longings are answered vis-a-vis al-Islam. As long as you think you need something else before you can say al-Islam is all I need, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. Yeah, I'm taking it. I got to have it. No. All you need is al-Islam. The rest of that is ancillary. It can be supportive, etc., but make sure you put it in the right order and in the right place. Al-Islam is enough. Quran is enough. Muhammad is enough. But if you don't get enough of al-Islam and enough of the Quran and enough of Muhammad, it will not seem like it's enough. And you look at what somebody else has got. Yeah, I better give me some of that, but so my stuff can be solid. Man, come on. You got some Quran? Get some more. You got some Muhammad? Get some more. You got some practice of al-Islam? Get some more. And in that, and those sources will show you, you don't need that because it's right here. You got that. And you didn't get it from blah, blah, blah. I won't put any kind of accents on it. You didn't get it from blah. You got it from the creator of the heavens and the earth. So who's more trustworthy? So-and-so or your creator?
Don't think I'm saying what I'm saying is not a big deal. Next time you get online, and most of us wind up online at some point in time, and listen to the chatterboxes. See what they're chattering about. See what they're arguing about. See what they're all getting all set up and in their feelings about, upset, et cetera, et cetera. And I want you to look at that and say, how does Islam answer that? How does the Quran answer that? If you don't know, then you need to study. How does Muhammad answer that? If you don't know, then you need to study. Then when you study, say, oh, okay, yeah. Quran, boop, Muhammad, boop. And then your peace comes back to you. A lot of people all upset. Right, you just disturbed. And they're sending you down old dusty roads, thinking you're going to find some secret ancient knowledge that somebody's been holding out on you. And before you get to that dead end, you have lost all kind of time and energy that could have been placed somewhere where the thing that we complain about not existing could be brought better into existence, because now you have the right map for the right territory, the right knowledge for this time. So I will say this, and I got 4 minutes based on my clock, the way I'm doing it. So those of you who, you know, mashallah, do whatever you want to do. But on the Saturday mornings we usually follow up on the Jumu'ah on Blog Talk Radio. You can get the address information, I think on newsletter or whatever. So I'll be better able to literally give you some visuals to help. Because I understand that there's some need to get in. And I don't measure how proper I am by how many takbir somebody get. Let's get that straight, too. Because what I talk about, you have to think about what I'm saying. Many times that the rest of that is, you know, not for learning, but for something else. But now I do have to say this to you, because I committed myself to go ahead and stick to the script, because the script, I'm satisfied with it. So Allah created the universe so that it could be the womb for the Nafsum Wahida, which existed before the universe. The universe is a necessary mechanism that the soul, he can put into it, and through evolutionary time, don't think Charles Darwin, through evolutionary time, there becomes a body that can stand up on two legs, Homo erectus, etc., and that will have a brain and a mind, that will have a capacity for consciousness that no other creation had, not like his. Allah created in the human being a transceiver, a being that would be capable of abstracting meaning from this macrocosm, and that meaning abstracted from that brain mind would be the food that that individual can cultivate their part of that soul with. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. 91, 7 through 10. Blessed is he that causes it to grow. What is it that's supposed to grow? That bit of nafsun wahida that's in you, in everybody. Do you understand? There is a part of that nafsun wahida. I use part. It is that nafsun wahida. And this religion that we've been given is designed to grow that seed. Let's go back to the original analogy. You are a seed, and God has favored us with a way of life that if we practice that way of life, that seed of the soul that we are, it grows and grows and grows. To what? To be able to command the nature of creation for our service. Solomon, David fulfilled that. Muhammad fulfilled that. Allah favored us with a way of life that, do you want that? Do you want that? Or is it that you just want a good job and be in a good tax bracket? What do you want? And beyond that, what Allah has created us as, this Lord that is the owner of all things, top that off with that seed that I'm talking about. There's a gift in you from God. Just imagine if you walk through the door. Don't worry, I'm almost done. You walk through the door. In fact, let's have you walk out the door. So we have parting gifts. It's not just here. Let's imagine you choose your mogul. Well, you choose your mogul. Some of you like Warren Buffett. Some of you want Jeff Bezos. Some of you want, you choose your mogul. And the party was at his house. And you chose her. The party was at her house. Look. He said, hey, we got these parting gifts for you. They're all wrapped up. It's all wrapped up. Now, how eager are you to open up that parting gift from the house of the mogul? And you were fortunate enough to be at the party. Yeah, take that with you. Okay, yeah, good seeing you. Yeah, take that with you. Oh, okay. Shoot, man. Talk about jogging, man. You gonna jog to the car, bust this thing open, man, see what's in there. I'm trying to get us to understand that Allah has gifted all of us. And let me make my point especially to my young folks up in here. And if you think you're young, I'm talking to you then, all right? God has given you a gift that only you can unwrap. I'm going to say that again. God has given you a gift. A gift from God is not like any other gift. God has given you a gift that's not like any other gift. And it's a gift that only you can unwrap. God has given you a gift. And it is a gift that only you can unwrap. Anything that you do that doesn't respect the hope of the realization of God's gift in you is a waste of your life. Anything that you do that doesn't contribute to the opening of that gift that is in your life, my little young sisters, I can't see you from here, but I'm looking at you. You are gifted in a way that nobody and nothing in creation can gift you. It's from Allah. You are special. You are special because you are a human being. You're special because God created you. And if Allah didn't intend to create you, you would not be here. And if you're here, God intended for you to exist. And if you're here, then God has gifted you in a way that nothing and nobody else can gift you, but that gift can only be unwrapped by you. Don't let anyone put you in a state and a condition of heart and mind and spirit where you have doubts or diminishing attitudes about yourself. Always recognize yourself as one who is created by the cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds. Yeah. Allahu Akbar. Young people, especially, I know it's for the old folks too, quote unquote, I'm one of them. But you, there's a lot of stuff that you don't, quote unquote, have to buy into that many of us have bought into. You're much freer than we were in a space and time right now. Don't waste the gift of God that you are. فله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allah, we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you. Allah, we are grateful for your graces. We are grateful for your graces. We are grateful for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. 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 We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your guidance. We thank you for the enlightenment. Oh Allah, increase us in enlightenment. Oh Allah, increase us in faith and diminish us in doubt. Oh Allah, bless us to trust you in a manner that we trust nothing else in creation. Oh Allah, open up the insights of your revelations to us, both in the scripture and in the nature of creation. Oh Allah, enlighten us as to our own reality, and bless us to understand the signs that are within ourselves and in the horizons. O Allah, we ask this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. O Allah, bless us not to be among the blind. Bless us not to be among the deaf. Bless us not to be among the dumb. O Allah, protect us from the wiles of Shaitan. And bless us not to be deceived by this world and to be deceived by the chief deceiver. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa aqim as-salah.
It's such a struggle trying to climb the ladder of success. Living in a world where every day my strength is put to the test. But I face that test with courage, and I just won't be discouraged. I'm determined, you see, to reach my
possibility.
Now I run across so many things that could block me, but I made up my mind. So much more than I can see. So much that I can become. That's why I'm reaching for the sun.
I see my possibility. Just woke up and found him here in me. Nothing but green lights ahead of me.
I'm looking for the dollar track. Get ahead, I want the back.
I see my
nothing but clean eyes.
الحمد لله رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Got a couple of minor adjustments. So we can get on to our YouTube Facebook live. Hold on. Microphone issues here. All right. All right. Now we're together. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. I hope my earphones should be good as we go. Alhamdulillah, thank you for being with us this morning, Universal Dimension Leadership. Alhamdulillah, we just broadcast yesterday's recording from Masjid Orathin of part three of the self under the larger heading, the five obligations to build Ummah. And we'll continue to walk down that road. Alhamdulillah, as always, we welcome your comments and input as we continue our Saturday morning broadcast. We have my brother, Mark. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to your very astute radio listening audience, Mark Shaheed from the SDL, Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. Wanted to say alhamdulillah that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost always. And once again, commend you on the excellent khutbah. It was so substantive. I just wanted to just touch just on a couple of things and get off and all. But I love the way it was, your khutbah was constructed in terms of Nesan Wahid and how you so eloquently articulated the soul. You know, you're a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I am too. Imam was teaching us one in terms of master keys. You use two master keys in your khutbah. One of the master keys Imam Muhammad gave was that everything in creation has its counterpart in man, counterpart being a likeness in man. You use the seed to illustrate the soul. Imam Muhammad also gave us another master key. He said, let the known lead you to the unknown. Let what it is that you know you to what you don't know. And what we don't know, most human beings, we don't know much in terms of the soul, as it is abstract, but it is a reality for us. And so, and what we don't know often, you understand, is more powerful than what it is that we do know. But in using the seed and the potential that's in that seed, you know, as a gift to us, uniquely that's given to Allah, that only Allah can give to us, we have to uncover and discover that. I remember a few years back, you used the word bliss. And you was speaking to young people in terms of believing that Allah has given you a unique skill, a talent, a present, a gift, and then you have to locate it. That's the L, to locate it. You know, that's a responsibility that you have. And also our parents can help and assist in the locating of that gift, but it's there. And then it has to be institutionalized. And then you have to specialize. And then the last S was to be able to succeed. You know, but I took that last S and made it soul seed. And listen to your kubah today. We want the soul seed. And I don't want to go too far, but I'll stop there. As always.
Repetition is the mother of learning. So alhamdulillah, to reiterate is the right thing to do in terms of reinforcing and impacting and impressing deeper so people can own it and benefit by it. So I thank you, as always.
Yeah, Brother Imam, I wanted to ask this question too. And I know we have to use the best language, you know, in the English language when we're speaking about Allah, and oftentimes it can be misconstrued. But I want to ask this question in terms of, it's often said what Allah intends to do, and we say we intend, or the Prophet Muhammad, as you well know, said all matters are judged by niyya, or our intentions. But I'm looking at it, and you correct me if I'm incorrect. Intentions would be more in towards human beings in terms of intentions. I'm thinking that Allah does not have to intend, because his will, he can bring into existence that which he pleases. Yeah. We don't have always have that power to do that. And I'm thinking about one of the attributes that Allah has, many of them, but Al-Jabbar, the enforcer, or the irresistible, in terms of looking at bringing into will what it is that he pleases. If you could give some type of comment on that, I greatly would appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. No, you're absolutely correct in terms of the limitations and the shortcomings of that intention. And I was, even during the khutbah, I was saying, okay, are you going to take time to detail all that, or are you going to just go ahead and make your point? So these are the kinds of decisions that teachers have to make in the moment. You know, are you going to elaborate? Sometimes when you elaborate in detail on something, there's so many footnotes, subnotes, marginal notes, et cetera, that you lose the attention and the focus on the point that you're trying to get to vis-a-vis the audience. So sometimes I don't take the time to get detailed like that, because the audience is, in the situation where they can benefit by the point and they can get details like on days like this. For example, it's very simple, the answer to what you're saying. What you're asking is when it says qada inside of that. In fact, let's go ahead and do it since we're here this morning. Iman, what are you saying, Iman? All matters are judged by actions, I believe, is best. And also is a better translation, inshallah. So let's go with, let's find that verse. I believe it's 347. Find it on my phone, because it's all about the right language. That what says it is the Arabic, and trying to make a quick find it. 347. He's got some long verses in there. 347. Yes. So 347, this is when he's talking to, when Allah is telling us about Maryam, right? And she says, Al-Zubillah, she says, oh my Lord, how shall I have a son when no man has touched me? He said, even so. He said, well, let's go ahead and read the Arabic now. كذلك أعوذ بالله كذلك الله يخلق ما يشاء إذا قضى that's the key right there إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون. So the key, what gets translated sometimes is this qada as intention, but it's not intention. As was mentioned, niyah is intention. These one of the words for intention is niyah. So no, Allah doesn't intend a matter. He qada, he decrees a matter. So whenever Allah decrees a matter, he says to it be, and it is. Not whenever he intends the matter. The qada and qadr and those other things. Sometimes, and it's particularly in the khutbah, particularly I was avoiding that part of the conversation because as a matter of beliefs and as a matter of those kinds of details, it takes us too far afield based on the time. But it's correct. It is correct. That Allah, no, Allah doesn't have to intend. He simply decrees. And when he decrees, and he says to what he decrees, فَيَقُولُ لَهُ, he says to it, is what is it? What he has decreed, being it. So I'm going to say a bit more about that as we go on. InshaAllah, thank you, Brother Mark, that is correct. All right, what else we got here? We have... It looks like your mic is unplugged. I think it's unplugged. Should be okay. Alhamdulillah, shukran, Brazil. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. All right, let's go. Blog Talk, give you another shot. Anybody on Blog Talk? Yes, here we are. 713, that's Texas. This must be Daiya. Is this Daiya?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikumsalam. You're the Texan in California. What's going on?
That's right. Representing some of the children. Yes.
Allahu
yeah,
Allah,
you know,
Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for that kubah, too.
Super.
You know, when I'm listening to the kubah, you know, I'm reflecting on the soul outside the body, right?
Yes.
And, you know, it's foreign. That's an issue and that's a problem for people because it's foreign, you know, to think that way for some.
Yeah.
Not for all.
Yeah.
But for some and a lot. It's really foreign. And I think that's when you can't get out of the maze. You know, because you really have to remove yourself, you know, and I mentioned it before when I was a kid, I did that. I mean, we went to church and my dad, you know, he really schooled us and had us to think, you know, and, you know, what it says about thinking in the Quran, you know, it advances the power of thought, right? I mean, progress.
Yeah.
But so I used to sit on the porch and just, like I say, think all the way to an atom, you know. So it was something I was used to doing was getting outside of my soul, right, and trying to explore. And, like, that really was also a way of my confirmation for faith, you know, because how did it all get here? You know what I'm saying? And it's nothing that we could touch and that we could make. Yeah. But What also I thought about is when you were talking about the encouragement of people, youngsters in particular, you know, and really all folks need it, you know, that we can be anything we want to be. We can do anything we want to do. But with the help of Allah, we can. But see, we don't believe that. And unfortunately, when we do see it in each other, unfortunately, a lot of us become envious and jealous, see? Mm-hmm. And so what happens is you can't tap in because you tapped out, you know? You took yourself out of the game, you know, because this person is showing you but you just haughty like the shaitan was, you know. I ain't bowing down to that. I bowed down to what he said, you know.
Yeah.
But then he proof of it, or she's proof of it, but you don't want to get it because you're just haughty. Now, another thing that I thought about was when I was having an issue back in the 80s, I was working, right? I was had this job. It was a temp job. I was making $9 an hour. And for the 80s, that was, as you know, good. That was pretty good.
He was balling. He was balling.
Yeah. So I was doing this job, and it was at a shipping company or whatnot, you know, and really, you know, I just wanted to, I wanted the take home. I just wanted the money so I can do what I needed to do. And but as I was there, you know, I mean, I like everything to count in life for me. So I wanted to, you know how the shipping company run, what it's about and everything. But everybody was, you know, a job security. You know, you ain't getting my job. I ain't telling you nothing, you know. And there weren't blacks there, you know. I was like maybe the second one, right? So anyway, I start just working, whatever, doing whatever. They wanted to change the computer system. They had something like a CICS system. They wanted to change it to Xerox, IBM Xerox, okay? IBM 8100. I remember this stuff really well, IBM 8100. So they wanted to change to that system. Those folks, they felt like they'd been there for 100,000 years and that the company needed them to run. They did not want to get on the new system. They wasn't going to do it. They were going to hold the company hostage, even though it was the RTW, Around the World Service, right? So I'm just there, right? They had a coordinator to come, like, you know, you guys say get on the stick. You're supposed to be changing over to this new system. They didn't want to do it. They held out or whatnot. So I said, you know, okay. You know, well, the lady approached me, the coordinator approached me and said, you know, would you like to help? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm here. So anyway, long story short, my help in advanced me. For me, Lord, you know, being assisting her, it advanced me. I learned how the company ran. I learned how to work with the techs, you know, and all this kind of just everybody, everything. So what happened is they're depending on me now. You're depending on me now, right? So anyway, then I got to the point where there was a couple of people were like, you know, you're doing manager work. You need to go for that. You know, they need to pay you for that. And, you know, you need to be titled, you know. And I wasn't thinking about that at first. And I started thinking, I'm like, you know what, that is so true. You know, look at all the stuff I'm doing. You know, I'm hitting each division, you know, and each coast, you know, the Far East, the East Coast, you know. West Coast, Europe, all this stuff, Honolulu, Guam, you know, I'm hitting it. You know, I'm sending them the data, we reconcile them and the stuff on the ships and stuff. And so I did approach them, and then they did not want, you know, to do anything for me, right, you know, as far as advancing, they just wanted to do the work. So I happened to be talking to my dad, and I was really, like, I was frustrated, you know, and I was like, you know, these people, you know, they always do it. They're so prejudiced, you know. I said, and they're always trying to keep black people down, you know, and I'm just talking all this black stuff. He told me to shut up.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, that just knocked me down, right? Because I'm not going to get into it now, but my dad was really, you know, busy creating things and doing things and dancing stuff, you know, for community society at large, right? So, and I know that he was done wrong. So I was like, I thought he could relate, you know, to what I was saying. But, you know, what he was telling me was this. Don't play that black card. Don't get in that box. Not get in that box, you know. And I listened to my dad because when he speaks, it's like, E.F. Hutton, you listen, right? And I'm trying to figure out what he's trying to tell me. And so what he was trying to tell me was that, you know, you put yourself in a box that you can't get out. When you start talking about it's because I'm black, it's because this, it's because that, you know, all of this stuff. And so then you don't advance. So you don't try to advance because you have a defeatist mentality, right?
Right.
And so I listened to him, you know, and then I poured on, you know, because I know what he was telling me. Move on, you know, stay in faith and move on. You got this. You can do it. And then so then I started looking at the people. I'm like, you know what? You ain't no better than me. And obviously you really not because I'm running this stuff, you know.
Right.
So I'm going to push on. So long story short, they went and they had to file Chapter 13, so they went under, and I did finally get a title, but there was another shipping company that started in San Francisco. And, you know, everybody trying to figure out what they're going to do or whatever. Of course, you know, you're going to find another job for us anyway. And, you know, when I went in, and I was a little apprehensive because this called for, you know, a college education and, you know, this, that, and the other, and which I did not have. You know, I didn't have any degrees or anything and still don't, you know. And so I was like, oh, man, I'm going to get, you know, this not going to work. You know, see, we put all these blocks in front of us instead of saying this is going to work. You know, and then I had a little sidebar conversation. I had a sidebar conversation with, you know, one of the employees, you know, for the company went down. You know what? You got all the, you know, you have all the experience, you know, and you know that's really what they need. You know, and I was like, yeah, you think I should go? He's like, yeah, go. You know, and then I'm thinking about what my dad was saying and stuff, and you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get this. And I went up in there, and I'm going to tell you, I sat at that interview with Mr. Heveling. I'll never forget him from Hamburg or Bremen, one of them. And anyway, we're sitting down, and I'm asking him questions, you know, about his
I hate to cut you off. You know, I hate to cut you off, but I need you to.
So let me wrap it up. Let me wrap it up. He was scrambling trying to serve me. So what I'm just trying to say and get back to what you were saying is, you know, you can do anything that you set yourself out to do.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. I bear witness. And the examples that you gave, Don Jin is his name. I'm sure. I can't be sure he's alive. I think he's alive somewhere. But he's a Korean guy that when I worked for the city of Oakland, and but he was Asian. He might not have been Korean. But I learned from him, and he reinforced that lesson for me by observation. I was just watching and observing. It's like the way you help yourself is make yourself useful, right? So you learn, you do that extra work, you do that extra thing, and then that you become a necessity, and then that is what causes you to elevate. So, alhamdulillah, thank you for sharing. This is not usual for you. I appreciate your contribution this morning. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. You're welcome.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. So, yeah, rich and deep sharing this morning. So, I'm going to go on with adding and really just showing, really, if I get, inshallah, God willing, if I get through what needs to be said about this picture. Now, Blog Talk, I have to let you know that I'm going to show a visual because I think I mentioned it during the Juma that on this platform, i.e. this Saturday, I have the opportunity to share a visual representation of what I'm talking about as I speak to make that point. So if you can get to either the Facebook Live or you can get to the YouTube Live for me, I do actually recommend that for you. As you know, you can actually be on both. You can get the visual side on your computer. I guess some of you can get it on your phones as well. But I want to show this picture because the picture is a graphic representation of the point. Because there are components to the khutbah that I've been doing, and I'm really doing it by components. So there are actually like just three paragraphs in my notes, paragraphs, and then those paragraphs is just like maybe two or three sentences max for each paragraph. But it makes the point, mashallah, succinctly, I believe. But the graphic representation makes it even easier. When it's one picture is worth 1,000 words or 10,000 words, I don't know what the number is, 1,000, 10,000. but the picture doesn't. So I'm gonna share this. Picture here, and it goes far in making this point. So the image that's in front of you right now is seeking through it to get across this idea of the self as an original creation. Because the point is, who are we as a self, as a creation of Allah, right? All right. So the verse that's used as a foundation is Surah 4, Ayah 1, right? يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ, right? So you have this illustration. Is it that little circle there? It don't have to be in the middle. I just wound up putting it in the middle. It can be anywhere. That's, I want to be clear on that, because I know that it suggests a lot of things, which is not wrong or out of the box, but I just don't want to make that a focus. So خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. So God is telling us in the Quran that he created you all min nafsin wahidatin. Right? So that's the grainy circle, and the granular qualities in it. It's really just to make it, the idea is to make it abstract. That's all. So that's the graininess, is just to say, no, this is not something that's solid. It's just, you know, it's abstract. So that graininess is my attempt to say that it's abstract. Then in that verse, خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا, and created from it its mate. Now, I could have done all of these. This is all live, so we'll just keep going, and let's go back up here. So then, I'm gonna take all this out. Hang with me, because there's something I want visually to happen. More time. Because I just did this morning. Once I figured out how I thought it should look. All right, so let me see. I know it's going to be one or two left. Let's just take this out. Okay. And those little blue lines are black dots that are actually left that I didn't get. All right, take that out. Right, and in fact, we can take all the rest of this out, because this right here, right now, is the first part of it. خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. Okay, so you have this right here. In fact, I'm going to take this out temporarily. We just go like that. خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. So this grainy circle, et cetera, that's نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. The verse goes on to say, وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, and created from it its mate. So now this arrow here pointing to this here is that movement, created from it its mate. The reason that the black circle that I had in there. Yes, the black circle in there is that in Allah's decree, right? In Allah's decree of Nafsun Wahidatin, everything that Allah intended to come forward from Nafsun Wahidatin was already in Nafsun Wahidatin. It was already in it. Khalaqa minha, created from it. From what? Nafsun Wahidatin. Its mate. So this black dot inside of that is a representation of the potential for its mate within Nafsun Wahidatin itself, right? So Nafsun Wahidatin was first, and then created from it its mate, Nafsun Wahidatin, as potential. Now this black dot out here is representing it, is representing the mate that came from Nafsun Wahidatin. Now, just like Daya was just saying, it's like we're not used to thinking in certain ways, but that's what this is about. The subject matter, this and the subject matter in general, and really life itself. Like there are patterns of thinking, there's ways that we've been used to thinking, there's ways that it's right and proper for us to think, because that way of thinking was the necessary way of thinking in order for us to advance, progress, evolve, and grow from wherever we were, right? But the object is not, the object, we have an unlimited scope of destiny. We have a long way to go, but as we, in terms of our possibilities. But we have to know how to, and this is the thing, we have to know how to think. When I say think, meaning what is the right way of seeing something? What is the right perspective of a thing? And they're perspectives that we don't get until we grow to the point where, oh, you know what? I never looked at it like that. Well, that's life. That's how you grow. The way you grow is you learn how to see things in a different way and that are advanced and progressive and in continuity with what came before. That's how it is. Everything evolves, evolves, evolves. In the verses that we always point to, 23:12-14, what you'll learn about that, about the grammar in that, is that a thing begins as indefinite. I'm speaking grammatically. It begins as indefinite. Then it becomes definite. Then that was definite leads to something that is indefinite. And then that indefinite becomes definite. And it goes all the way in that set of verses. This is why sometimes I don't go into the grammar. But those of you who know it, know grammar, and you understand about indefinite, definite, then go look at that verse again and see how it's a progression, indefinite. And that's how we grow psychologically. That's how we grow cognitively. First, there are things that we have an understanding of, but it's not so definite. But then when it clarifies, then it becomes definite. Then we say we understand it. But then that opens the door to something else that you're indefinite about. And then you continue to study that and get a better understanding of that until it becomes definite. But then that opens the door to something else that's indefinite. That's how it goes, right? But before that, we don't need all those details until we get to a point where we're ready to move to the next step. You're ready to move to the next step, then you're going to need details to get to that next step. And this is what, inshallah, I hope you understand that I'm speaking to and from in this. So Nafsun Wahida. So in the qada of Allah, thank you, Brother Mark, in the qada of Allah, not qadr, Qaf, Dod, Ya, or Alif Maqsura, however you want to read it, but I believe it's Alif Maqsura more so than, yeah. Either way, it's Qada. In his decree, from the creation of Nafsun Wahida, and it really, if you, I have to drive it home to you about this different perspective. This Nafsun Wahida was first. before matter. It was first for matter. But the potential for matter was in that first creation. Nafsun Wahida. And the prime objective of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not matter. Now, I'm going to go poetic, a little poetic with you. But the objective of Allah, the decree of Allah, it was not matter. It was man. That's the purpose of the creation itself. Now, there, the atheists, agnostics, and humanists of different stripes, you know, nah, it's like we're just not important. You can listen to some of these brainiacs, these high IQ, these high-level talking heads or what have you in the world right now. They will talk about the human being in a way it's like, I mean, terrible. It's like the guy you said about some of the hotties. Those mindsets, those IQs, those brainiacs, you know, this is Shaitan. That is really Shaitan, you know, in one of his incarnations. It's like they can talk and rap and speak in such a way that man as a common part of the universe is nothing to be considered. The earth is nothing to be considered. It's just a speck of dust in the backwater of the universe and wah, wah. Yes, it's horrible things that these people say about the human being. Any case, I'm saying to you, and Allah has said to us, and Allah knows best, and I'm saying, when you understand what Allah has revealed, and I believe this understanding is correct, only Allah knows. In any case, when you follow the logic, مُخْلِصِينَ اللَّهُ دِينَ, you listen to what Allah says, you read it, the خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. Okay, so he said, I created all of you from a single نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. What's not expressed or denied is, was there anything else existing at the time of this statement? When God says, I created you min nafsin wahida. You don't have anything but the fact that he said, I created you from nafsin wahida. Then he says, خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, created from it, its mate, was the mate of the soul, the mate of the soul. On first basis, you can say the mate of the soul, we're in this space of individuality right now. The mate of the soul is the body. I don't think you're going to have any problem making and holding that statement that shouldn't trouble your heart. No. The mate of the soul is the body. The mate of the soul is the body. Don't start worrying about, you know, which one is the male, which one is the female, blah, blah, because you're still thinking on the plane of biological human beings. So you try to make one physical thing match up with the physical thing in this abstract thing. Don't think about men and women as biological, how can you say, counterparts of each other. Just think about creation of Allah, nafsun wahida, and its mate. So the universe is the body of nafsun wahida. All right. Imam Muhammad, those of you who feel much better when you hear Imam Muhammad Hassan says, alhamdulillah, that's good. That's wonderful. I do too. Where the Imam says, the soul is bigger than the space that the body occupies. All right? So that's related to our individuality. but I want to remind you that at this point of our conversation, we are outside of our individual existences. Right? We're not even. We're pre our individual existence. That's coming up, next page. But just understand, the home of the soul is the universe itself. The home of the soul is the universe itself. That is the and also puts it, the expanse of the soul is the universe itself. It's like, how far does the soul is bigger than the space of the body occupied? Okay, well, how far does it go? How far does it go? Where are the boundaries? Where are the boundaries of my soul and your soul? That's another conversation, and it's manageable once you get from the indefinite to the definite on certain things. Inshallah, and I try, inshallah, and by Allah's grace, it's no boast, to try to, if you're trying to get there, I feel like I've gotten there on certain things. I'm reached down, I'm put ladder down there. Climb up there and see what I'm talking about, inshallah. Mean this in the best possible way to say it. So the material universe is the body of Nafsun Wahidatin. Okay? The material universe is the body of Nafsun Wahidatin. It is the mate. Created from it, its mate. And I know, I hear you. Created from it, it's made. Yeah. So the material came from the spiritual. I'm using this language. Don't think spiritual like emotions and psychology, etc. No. Well, yeah, let me change that. The concrete came from the abstract. The concrete came from the abstract. There's a scientist that I'll point you to that puts it in "quote unquote," scientific philosophical terms, but I'll mention that later. Imam Muhammad, I have a paragraph, mashallah, that I'm sure we won't be able to get to today. That everything I was talking to you about, the Imam has narratively said it. Those of you who are part of the Clear Understanding Institute, you know what I'm talking about because we've gone through that with you. So the point is, we're going to get to that, but I want to hear on this platform, but I want to lay this out first. All right. So the point is, خلق منها زوجها, خلق منها زوجها. So matter, the objective came from the abstract. The concrete came from the abstract. Literally, the concrete came from the abstract, and this black dot inside of this Nafsun Wahida is this large dot that's outside now. It's outside, but it was inside first, in the potential. It was in the qadar. It was in the decree of God when he decreed it to come into existence. And I say again, the object of Allah is for us, the human being, to come into this. That's when he started it. He started the whole thing for the human being. He started the whole thing for the human being. Everything. He started it for the human being. So inside of that decree was the potential for every mechanism that was going to be necessary for his decree to be realized. And the major mechanism for the final manifestation of his decree, which was for the human being, the major mechanism for that to happen was the universe itself. The universe is the womb for the gestation of humanity. The universe is the womb for the gestation of humanity, said him. The universe is the womb for the gestation of humanity. خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, the universe is the mate of نَفْسٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. Then it says, now here we go. Move that I made earlier, here it is. Now, here's نَفْسٌ وَاحِدَةٌ with its potential for a universe to serve as the womb for its own advance in time and space. So now this universe and all of its potential, including the individual human beings, so now you see all these little replicas of this one. That's what's embedded in the universe. I think I probably should give you at least one line so you can hold on just in case you in case you're about to fall off the wagon. I'll read one line from you, man. Because it will take mashallah, inshallah. It would take a whole broadcast for me to go in detail, but I'm taking advantage of what you heard on the khutbah and what we've said to be able to, I'm looking for the line that has it. Yeah, let me go. Get that picture in your mind. I'm about to drop that picture out. Then we're gonna come back to it. You should probably take a screenshot of it too. if you're on the computer. But then you can kinda work your way through it again. Okay. But for right now I'm gonna go ahead and stop sharing that. And I'm going to give you a new share. All right. So here, this is from a longer article from the Imam that it's entitled The Growth of Human Consciousness, right? So these words that I'm going to read to you right now, and I want to just read them to you, are the words of the Imam, inshallah, mashallah. All right, so the Imam, at this point, he says, God raises us up. He creates us in this earth. Our physical essences are of this creation, in this physical universe. Our conscience is born of this physical environment, this natural environment. And God has already set the pattern. This is a big deal, okay? The pattern of growth. I'm going to go ahead and make that bold red. And I'm going to say it now. We'll get back to it, inshallah. I don't know, days, weeks to come, perhaps. You are a pattern. What is your reality? Your reality is you are a pattern. You are a pattern in evolution. Don't think Darwin when we say evolution. You are a pattern of realizing and actualizing and moving towards the destiny that Allah put in your potential. Your potential is that pattern, fitrah, same thing. Your potential is your fitrah. Your fitrah is your pattern. That is you. That is your nature. That is who you are. Your growth is the growth of that pattern, right? Don't think in concrete pattern terms like, okay, well, what am I shaped like, a triangle or a square or a rectangle, etc. No, it's an abstract pattern as it relates to Allah's conception for you in your creation. When Allah decided to create us, he had his design for us, and inside that design is the destiny. That pattern is both the design and the destiny. All right, so that's why, you know, it takes so much time to do that. But let's go back to the Imam's quote. So the Imam says, God has already set the pattern of that growth, that progress, in the physical matter. He's being emphatic about the embedded quality, the quality that there is something in and therefore from the matter itself that is the movement of the expression of God in matter. He put his qadar, he put his decree in matter, and that matter has been the womb for the realization of God's decree in you and me, the human being. Okay? Let's keep reading the man's quote here. It says, the pattern of that growth, that progress, in the full matter that we are from, and also in our biology. The Imam is making it very, very explicit here. It's the truth. And also in our biology, and also in the spiritual makeup that lives in the biology. The biology is a carrier, is a vehicle, is a medium for our reality. It's not the reality. Matter is not the reality. Biology is not the reality, all right? The reality is something that is transcendent to matter and biology, et cetera, but it needs it. We need it in order to have life, have expression, to experience what Allah had created us to experience. This whole universe out here that was needed for our original creation and original manifestation, it is also now, once we get out here, now it's a gift. It was a gift then. But now it's like, okay, what do you want? What do you want here? This is yours. What do you want? Yeah. So the Imam goes on and says, in the spiritual makeup that lives in this biology, it all connects, brothers and sisters, with the Imam. Then he says, the physical matter has the pattern. This is really where I'm at with that little illustration. Let me see if I can cut this part of the conversation off and get back to that, right? The physical matter has the pattern. That pattern comes into me because I'm a living being. That pattern is now in me. So he says, now the pattern is not, you hear he's making a distinction between the pattern and me, the pattern and me, the pattern and me, right? And me as a physical living being. So there's the pattern and there's me as the living physical being. There's me as the living physical being, but then there's a pattern that you can't see. But that pattern is in me as a physical being, and it's moving. It's evolving. It's growing, okay? The pattern is in my physical physiology. The Imam is being emphatic. In Arabic, you say things like yuslima taslima. When you get that, it's stated once, and then when it's stated again, it's saying, really? No, really, really. Okay? The real, right? So the Imam says, he says, the physical physiology, the pattern is in my physical physiology. Now it reaches my mental makeup. See, all of this pattern is abstract, right? So you have the mental makeup, the conscience, et cetera, which depends on the mind, which depends on the brain. The point is that this body, this mechanism, has to evolve up to a point where that abstraction that is my real self can have a greater avenue expression. It's like, this body needs to be built up, grown up, evolved, matured, et cetera, so that it can get a brain, so it can get a mind, so that it can be a place through which this expression of the reality, the pattern, the self, the soul, the nefs. Now I got my body. So now, who's talking? Who's talking? Hopefully, inshallah, it is the original pattern, and that's the goal. That's the challenge. The challenge is to transcend the ego that comes up. I know you hear that word a lot, but please, I hope you understand. In these conversations, it never exactly means what the common thinking about it is. But the point is, you have the socialized self. The 1784, the everyone acts according to the way that they've been socialized, okay? But we don't always get socialized into the right pattern of thinking, okay? That's another thing that lets you know what the pattern is. It's your pattern of thinking. But there's a pattern of thinking that Allah created and intends for his creation, his creature, his creation. There's a pattern of thinking that he wants it to express. But what happens in these bodies and our birthdays and in our societies, we get socialized by the environment that the body is born into. And it impresses upon us patterns of thinking that are not necessarily in accordance with the pattern of thinking that Allah created us with and for. Mm-hmm. So that's why, you know, this conversation, when we start talking about Adam, because we haven't even really formalized the conversation about Adam and who is Adam and all that. That's another conversation. Let's move on. So I want to be able to get this picture. So the physical matter has the pattern. The pattern comes into me and I become a living being. That pattern is now in me as a physical being. That pattern is in my physical physiology. Now it reaches my mental makeup. Okay? So I'm gonna stop right there. And in fact, I'm gonna go ahead and augment my But thank you for your patience. So now I'm gonna augment that with this. I know I'm clouding up issues a little bit, but I'm changing something right now. So now we're back to this. We're back to this. So let's go up one page. Then we come back. I believe. All right. خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. This right here, this is the universe. This is the universe that becomes the womb for some wahida. Because nafsun wahida has to come into expression. Remember, the goal is, and it is inside of the statement when Allah says, إِنِّي جَعِلُ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَ. I'm making in the earth a khalifa. The fact is that part of that creation, again, requires that there be a body, et cetera. And so he creates a creation that will create a body, right? So, but each one of these individual bodies are small repeats of the original creation. Each one of us is a little nafsun wahida with a universe of potential inside of us. Verse 30, fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa 'alayha. So God is saying that he patterned us on a pattern that is in the creation itself, a pattern that's in the creation itself. And so this pattern, the whole realization of Allah's qada, of Allah's plan for us, is vis-a-vis our growth. So now you can see those little objects, which is the individual human being, they're seeds that are planted in the universe, another way of seeing it, planted in the universe. Blessed is he that causes it to grow, 91:7-10. These are regular repeating ayahs that have bearing on who we are, what we are, and why we're here, and how to get to where we are intended to be. And that's what our deen, our way of life, is literally just the recipe. You just follow the recipe, and you'll get to the destiny, inshallah. So the point is, we started the abstract original creation, nafsun wahida, with potential from the qada of Allah, and then the universe itself is created, and then it is embedded. That reality is embedded in the nature of creation, and the potential for each one of us is and was in the original creation from the time Allah decided to create. All right? And inside of each one of us is a reflection of that original creation. It says, God says, your creation and your resurrection is in no wise except as a single soul. What is that? Illa kanafsin wahida. So God tells us in the Quran, you are kanafsin wahida. You are nafsin wahida. That's what he said. Your creation and your resurrection is in no wise except as nafsin wahida. I mean, it don't mean. He said exactly the same thing. He said, all of you are nafsun wahida. You are in no other way except nafsun wahida. And we created nafsun wahida and created from it its mate. Let me go ahead and hit you with this. And we're gonna be finishing that. So that means then that you have inside of you the potential to be the womb for your own growth and development. In fact, that's the only way that you're really gonna grow. You have to recognize how you have to form the environment for your own growth and development. How you do that? It's like a butterfly. It's a sign of that very thing. Where did this cocoon come from? You got the caterpillar, right? That's not the destiny. The caterpillar is not the destiny. The caterpillar is just one phase. Yeah, on part of the leaf, it started as this little dot, this little egg. Right? Then it evolves, larvae, et cetera. Then it becomes a caterpillar. And then the caterpillar eats and chomps on whatever it chomps on. And then it begins its next transformation. And the transformation is the formulation of its own womb. It forms its own womb. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It doesn't build a nest and then go climb into it or anything. No. The womb comes out of the caterpillar itself. And the caterpillar goes into the womb and is transformed by the womb. And it comes out not as a crawling creature, but as a flying, beautiful creature. What is that? That's the sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of our reality. It's a textbook. It's look at it. Am I creating the womb for my own evolution? And this is what is actually said. Allah knows best. Allah says, خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجِهَا, created from it its mate. Create, so where's the mate for the caterpillar? The cocoon. Where did the cocoon come from? From the caterpillar. خَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجِهَا. And then what comes out of that? Another creature. Yes, it's going to take a minute to think on, reflect on, etc. But understand this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have given you everything necessary for the fulfillment of your life, that also means that you are self-contained. So this whole idea about having to go outside, go somewhere else, et cetera. There are some that are involved with so many other things, but once you understand that in principle, that, you know, everything you need is in you, you just have to cultivate it. You have to cultivate the wherewithal to realize what you intend, okay? What you intend. It's like you need a plan. We need a plan. You, we, us. We need a plan. But the plan is the womb for what you hope to create. Without a plan, no womb, no creation. Okay? So that these last little comments are kind of, well, I'm going to call them rushed. So, but they'll be, inshallah, with Allah's grace and help and guidance, they'll be elaborated on sometime in the future. So I hope this has been of some benefit to you. I'm going to go ahead and close out. And so let's see. A couple of comments before we go. I mean, to be read. Oh, okay, we got past the no sound, no volume piece. We got that. All right. Alhamdulillah, Zakiya. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, Surah 2, 106. I'll take a look. Let's see what we're talking about. I know there's a better way to do it than this. None of our revelation do we abrogate or cause to be forgotten, but we substitute something better or similar. Knowest thou not that Allah has power of all things? Well, I mean, all I can say is Sadaqullah Lavin. How it relates to what I'm talking about, I'm not getting it. But alhamdulillah, Quran is a reminder, so you can never go wrong if you're sincere with reading the Quran. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much, dear brothers and sisters. May Allah grant us his forgiveness and covering and guidance, aid and assistance. Everybody have a wonderful day. Tomorrow, well, nothing going on these platforms tomorrow. But inshallah, God's peace. Everybody have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm going to find a way to get out.